Welcome to Organize Anything with Colette Robichaux on 105.9 Seaside FM.
Welcome to Organize Anything. My name is Krista Cook, and I'm here speaking with Colette Robichaux, the organizing coach. Hi, Colette.
Hello, Krista. Great to be back chatting with you once again.
Thank you. Today, we are speaking about air travel tips. Now, traveling by air can be a serious pain with its constantly changing rules about baggage, carry-on restrictions, and seemingly endless delays. Oh, and don't forget those cancellations. Today, Colette is going to share some of her expert tips and advice about how to take the stress out of air travel. That's a big task.
It is a big task, and I love to travel. I'm passionate about travel. That is my thing that I have loved since I was a teenager, and I have to tell you, it is getting less easy all the time. They have taken the fun out of it.
To say for you to say that, I mean, I have barely traveled, and the last trip I took, and I actually had to go on the plane, I mean, trying to find out the size of things and to make sure that, you know, you weren't going to arrive at the airport being really embarrassed because you have all these things that you're not allowed to have. So I'm so glad there's people like you who can tell us. Start at the beginning.
It's a big challenge. And the beginning is when you, once you've booked your flight and you know that you've got your tickets and that sort of thing, or your, you know, your information. Usually a lot of us book online now. I say start a folder right away. So have any information that you want to put in it, whether it's one of your plastic folders that you wrap up with a little secure thing, a paper folder. I always have a sort of this five-tier thing that I use for all my travel. And there's some standard things that stay in there. And then all my information for that trip goes in there. So if I'm traveling on business, well, the emails that come in, I might photocopy them or anything like that, print them off and get them in there. So you want to start with that planning. You want to make sure you get some times in your daytimer right away. So
so
really think through the timing of it. So your flight might be leaving at 7 a.m., but you want to think, you know, is it international? I have to be there 3 hours early, or is it a local flight, an hour, hour and a half, or whatever? Know your time you really have to be there, and then know how long is it really going to take me to be at the airport. It might be an hour to get to the airport in off-prime times, but it might be an hour and a half in prime times, or, oh, are they doing that construction at the airport, or are they doing this? And is it worth it to have me have someone drive me, or should I get a service to take me? Like, really think that through right at the beginning when you're doing the trip. Instead of, people leave the stuff too close to the end and things get, you know, they keep, it sort of simmers underneath, what am I going to do, you know,
it's
all that sort of thing.
It's almost as they think the trip is booked.
Yeah.
And it's, okay, we're good.
Yeah, and that's not it. That's the whole thing. People think that the complete trip is done by just getting a reservation in. And by going through the scheduling, thinking through the other timing, you're often checking your itinerary and you're seeing where the trouble spots can be. So even, you know, pick up on the other end, that sort of thing. Often you could have the dates wrong. Maybe, you know, some things are not right. There's quite a few things, and a lot of us worry quite a bit about that because there are so many things.
Packing, I have to tell you, I believe you told me this before. I am definitely an overpacker. So I packed, and then I took about, I'd say, quarter to a half out because I waited in between, and I realized I was overpacking. And then I tried to condense it even more, and did it work? Not too good, because I think I added a lot of add-ins.
Yeah. My experience has been that most people, especially women, overpack.
So, just in case.
Just in case. So, again, you'll hear me say this. It's always about planning, and it's always about creating a list. I like templates. I have a set list that I use for travel that I check off. And just talking about clothing and what to wear, I even have designed my travel uniform, if you will.
Oh, of course you have. Now, this would be comfortable.
Absolutely.
Wrinkle-free.
Absolutely.
Maybe layered, because, you know, sometimes it can be hot, sometimes it can be cold.
You've seen my uniform. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. It's primarily black, because if I spill anything on it.
Oh, of course.
It's easy to wash out in a Lycra fabric. So I've got sort of my black pants that will go up or down, but I can also wear them to the gym as well. And let me give you this as a preface. I think you all should have a travel uniform of what it looks like and set your criteria. But think about it in this way even to start. What if I was going to arrive at my destination and be without clothes for 3 days? And let me tell you, I've had this happen to me probably 6 times.
3 days.
Three
with
days.
What you have on.
3 days. And that would be in locations where it's 40 degrees.
Oh, of course.
That would be in locations where I have to present the next day front of a couple hundred people. That would be in destinations where I would like to go and sit on the beach and have a cocktail, but I might be not dressed appropriately. So my travel uniform sort of fits a lot of those things. And maybe you have extra time also to get to the gym. You want to get your workout in, whatever. So the black pants that I have are sort of a Lycra that I can dress up, I can dress down.
Right.
They also wash out easily if I want to wash them in the tub or shower shower them out or wash in the sink and will dry quickly. The top is another top that is sort of that Lycra easy material that will wash or whatever. It will go up and down. I can go to a reception in this outfit or I can work out at the gym in this outfit.
Yep,
it may
that's
sound
perfect.
It may
it's
sound
perfect.
A little bit odd.
No.
But gals,
perfect.
I'm sure most of you can find something like that. So when you talk about layering, I usually wear a sweater on top of that. And my favorite traveling tool accessory, and maybe not so much for the guys, but I have a pashmina that, again, if it's a cocktail air thing, the pashmina works to dress that up. It's a scarf when it's colder. I use it almost as a little blanket or over my head to put some of the sun out on the plane. And so I've layered, you know, this outfit that will last me a few days, take me up, take me down. I can work out, whatever. I can roll up the pants if it's really a hot destination little bit.
Yeah.
And then it works. It can all be rinsed out. And so that becomes my travel uniform I use regularly. So think about what you can sort of do to have something, your travel uniform, that is easy. And the other side of that is once you get that, it's your go-to place to start, too. So you know, where am I starting from? Usually, you know, that on the plane, you want to know what that's going to be and how that can fit into your plans coming up. So it's usually an outfit that you can wear and maybe you have a skirt with it later or, again, that sort of thing. So most of the people that travel well with smaller amount of items have little things that they can rinse out or dry clean at the hotel.
I love the idea of your travel uniform. That's a great idea. What a great, great suggestion.
And it saved me. You know, even when they tell you get there and you're upset and they say it's going to be a day till you get it, you know, it's usually, it's not always what they tell you, so you're hopeful.
Yeah.
So
trying to be optimistic.
Yeah, so plan for that. Know what that looks like and know what your schedule is like getting in. A lot of times you're leaving, you know, time too tight if you're presenting the next day with things happening and stuff like that. So, you know how to plan ahead, and maybe you should come in a day early or stuff like that. You'd have more time to adapt. Some people, I know I also not only speak at conferences and things, but I book those, and I really feel very insecure when my speaker says he's arriving, coming right from the airport to speak. These days, it's just, you know, there are no guarantees you're going to get there. So think about that as well.
Now, what about, what else in terms of packing? Should you take food?
Well, it's interesting. I'm a big believer in having some snacks and some food to take along the way. There's, you know, two reasons for that. You can probably choose what to eat a little bit more if you have any restrictions and things like that. In monetary-wise, you know, it'll save you a little bit of money. But one of the interesting things, and we'll get into jet lag a little bit, is that that actually eating less while you're traveling and to adjust to a time zone change is better for you than eating too much. And I find that a lot of us, you know, when you have these layovers for a couple hours or whatever, we may not get the meals on the plane anymore. But, you know, if you're sitting for 3 hours, we're looking for things to kill time. A lot of times it's, oh, well, I guess I'll sit and have a glass of wine and I'll have some nachos or I'll do something like that. So a lot of times I find it I could overeat a lot more traveling than sort of undereat. So I do take some snacks. But there's some Harvard research that talks about this. We all know about sort of our body clock and that circadian rhythms that we like routine and getting up. But now they have sort of that food clock that they've discovered that, you know, we like to eat the same time as well. So if you actually eat less and then you know, while you're traveling and changing these time zones and get back on that food schedule at the other place, it'll allow you to adjust more. So limiting your calories. And as I said in the past before, I heard that if anything, by the time you add in the extra snacks and things like that and sit in the airport and whatever, it can add up. A lot of times you think you're not getting as much, but it adds up to more than you would normally eat. So something to be careful of.
What about my luggage? Obviously, I should make sure that my luggage has tags that have my name and my address and my telephone number. Mm-hmm. Any other things with packing, contact information? Should you?
Absolutely, but we'll go back to the luggage outside. Not a bad idea to have a luggage thing with your name on it that's maybe covered so you can open to see your name on it. Think about being in the elevator, rolling your luggage up, and the gentleman steering down, knowing your name, your address, in, you know, wherever you live. They could phone someone, say, I know this person is out of town, or they can, you know, then say, you know, they now know your name, so you may be in that hotel and they say Krista, and you're thinking, you know, that, oh, I've met you, but really, you know. So again,
yeah,
it's that security reason with that information on the outside. Be careful. You want your luggage labeled from the outside, but be careful for security reasons what that looks like. One of the big issues with that also is that a lot of the luggage that never gets returned is because maybe the handle came off, and so all the tags are missing. So what happens is there's no way to determine where that luggage was. So the suggestion for contact information, and I have a ongoing one on sort of a letter-sized piece of paper with my name, phone number, email address that I put on the top of my luggage after I've packed it, or in a little sleeve or something.
Oh, and then, of course.
And an itinerary, usually, of where I'm going to be for that flight. So I have one that's just standard that goes back in. It's so crinkled up and whatever. I don't print them off very often. But what happens is the luggage goes away to Never Never Land, and they open it up to see if they find anything with your name on it in
it.
So
how perfect.
If there's nothing with your name on it, it will never get back to you. So you just print off this piece of paper, put it on if you've got bright neon paper, print it on that. And if it's your itinerary is on that, if it's a more shorter term, maybe they can get to you sooner or something like that. So have those done. Again, a template you've got done in big print, and it can get to you. So, you know, again, precautions on how to speed that up and make it easy to get back to you. If you know your luggage handle is in bad shape and you're attaching it to that, you know, those are things you've got to think about. Oh, that handle's going to go, and then you attach, and then the person attaches the thing to your handle as well, and there's a risk. And boy, luggage, you know, luggage goes away and doesn't come back. my boyfriend has been through 4 suitcases now in the last 2 years. It's just
unbelievable.
You know, buy it new, and it comes off, and it's just gone. So
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, ticket boarding pass and those types of things. I'm always so nervous when I do go to the airport and I get those documents, because, of course, those are the documents. Should you, I inevitably stuff them in my purse.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any information for the guys out there who don't have a purse? I guess just make sure you put it in the same place.
Yeah, and we like routines,
yes.
And we like to go to the same place. So the same way as I sort of have that packing uniform,
mm-hmm,
for clothing, I also have a travel bag that the boarding pass would go in the same place.
Oh, I see.
It's one of my travel purses. It goes back in the same place because, honestly, a lot of times when we're traveling, we have a lot to think about. And it is very easy to misplace it, take it out, sit it, you know. And
or
if you
think you left it, and then
where is it? But if you know it's always going in the same place when you do the double check, so passport would go in there, boarding passes, it's always in the same place. You always put it there. It goes to the same place.
Okay.
Routines work. And even, you know, one step before that, you know, print your boarding pass off the day before. The airlines will let you print them off. These days you can get them on your BlackBerries and smartphones and things like that. So think about how to get that ahead of time. You can do some seat selection as well. And then that's one less thing done. It's going to speed you up at the airport of not
Perfect.
Having to go to the kiosk. Because, you know, face it, a lot of times these flights are first thing in the morning. And most of us are not really working well on less sleep or thinking about lots of stuff. We may be traveling for good reasons. We may not. But we've got a lot in our head. So create those routines. Template it out, get things back in the same place, have your travel thing that you always travel with, because if you're that's a great travel bag, you've never used it before, you're not thinking about where you
exactly.
might want to put something.
Good point. We are going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about more around expert travel tips.
You're listening to Organize Anything with Colette Robichaud. We'll be right back on 105.9 Seaside FM. This is Organize Anything with Colette Robichaux on 105.9 Seaside FM.
Welcome back to the last half of Organize Anything. I'm Krista Cook, and I'm here with Colette Robichaux. We are talking about expert travel tips. Now, we've talked about, we're sort of at the airport, we have our luggage, we have all our documents, so then there's security. Very intimidating.
It is, and often not only intimidating, but very frustrating with the large lineups. So, again, know your time that you're traveling. Think about, a lot of the business travelers start, you know, early in the morning to make it into their meetings. Think about when you're booking and think about that, because they can be very long and very frustrating getting through. And a lot of times people don't allow enough time if you're, you know, going between flights as well and having to do some of that inter-country check-ins as well.
How do you keep your cool? Because let's face it, nobody likes to wait for a long time.
No, the thing about lines, I was doing this for another client just on waiting in lines on something. You need to anticipate that, you know, there will be a lineup, and there just will be. You know, so plan for the worst and know there'll be a lineup. And if you want to speed the lineup along, if we had everyone doing what was right, it would be great. So even from what you're wearing to start off, we're going to have to remove a lot of those clothes, you know, to get through security. So start getting that off ahead of time. And, you know, we have internet for a reason. You can get through and read that stuff, whether it's your luggage size or what you have to take off. And again, the big thing that people don't know is that when you're in different countries, you may be able to have a certain size travel bag here, but if you're switching to another airline, it might not be the right size. Or I've been places where, you know, they limited the amount of carry-ons then, so instead of it being, you know, the two, it's really the one, and people are madly trying to combine their purse into this and things like that. So these are things to think about, but as you're in the lineup, get yourself ready to go through security. So if you have belts on, if you have certain things on, know to get it off. And something that I just found out recently, I always have my sort of slip-on, slip-off shoes. So again, in planning your uniform,
that's right.
You don't want something with laces. And in Canada, as much, it's not as big a deal as the U.S. of taking shoes off. But in the U.S., you definitely are taking your shoes off in, I don't know if it's all, but most of the airports, I guess. But it's a little different from country to country. But a slip-on shoe is going to help you. Another thing about what comes up on that, you know, you're beeping. For women, it can be underwire bras. So even knowing which bras are going to work and not. Another thing people don't think about are these shanks in your shoes and boots. And I know that some of my better shoes of a better quality, more the, if I must say, the older lady comfort shoes that we might want to think we want to travel in, some of those brands are a better quality shoe. They're better made. They have more stability. They have a shank in the shoe that are going to come up as well.
Yes.
So, you know, just some things like that. Even jewelry, watches, you know, your boots and things like that. So try, and again, with your travel uniform, pick things that are going to be easier to go through. And as you're approaching security, get off the rest of it. Start taking it off ahead of time. You know, don't be waiting till you get there to take off your layers. Have your layers off on your arm. Have a bag that you're traveling with that maybe it goes over your, it's something with a handle that you can have over your shoulder, and
yes,
maybe crosswise, even ergonomically or for posture wise, you're not killing yourself balancing all this. I've got to get my laptop off out, you know, to put in security as well. You've got to do all that stuff. So think about how you're going to do that, you know, ahead of the lineup, but you've got time doing that. Start getting that ready. No one wants to wait for you at the front of the line while you're doing all this. Oh, well, maybe I should take the change out of my pocket, or maybe I should do this. So know ahead of time and travel as if you're doing that more, you know, easily. So when you get to the lineup, you should get through. You've maybe made a better choice of shoe and bra.
Yeah.
And go from there. And for guys, it's always the change in their pocket, a lot of these little
belt buckle,
the belts and the things like that. And that's just in wardrobe. But then let's get to those, you know, your bags of your liquids and things like that. And back to when we were talking about packing, first off the top, it's like to carry on or not. So if you're going and you think you can do all this with a carry-on, which a lot of people want to do because they don't want to wait, you've got to think about what you're going to take and plan from there. For others, if you're taking suitcase and waiting for your luggage, you have more options. But then you've got to deal with, you know, sort of the travel sizes, and even thinking about your medication, how you're going to bring those. And just a sidestep for the medication as well. People think about, oh, I have to think about bringing in things. But if you're doing a big time zone change with your medication and you have issues of things you have to take regularly, often people will get off track with their medications because maybe they've flown and it's 12 hours difference and, oh, I'm just getting up and it's morning here or whatever. So plan ahead for your medication, not only from getting it on the plane and having a prescription that's up to date and getting those all filled beforehand, but also think about how you're going to take your medication. Maybe you should have been taking it when you're asleep over the ocean, you know, and this could alter how you're going to feel when you wake up and have to get off the plane. So any health issues, really think through how they can affect you, your mobility of getting pre-boarding, maybe wheelchair access, or taking medications that you take regularly, having them with you, having the prescription, but also thinking how, you know, it, you know, you left in the daytime, it's still day, how this is going to alter in taking those.
And I find just a woman and a purse. I don't think I've ever gotten through without something causing a beep.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in the run of a day, the things we throw in our purses and whatever. Yeah. So, you know, again, that checklist of saying, you know, starting about putting things in. For a purse, it might be just dumping it out or having that particular travel purse that you start and putting the things in, because then you can have things in the right pocket. Because just like you don't want to be held up, everyone behind you doesn't want you holding us up either.
Now, how can I find out what I can and can't take on the plane? I know we said check the company website.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it, it's not necessarily user-friendly. I mean, it's so technical. It would just be nice to sort of say, okay, everything's, you know, centimeters. Well, I'm I'm older. I grew up with the imperial system. So even things like that,
well,
I had to realize. But thankfully, I actually just called somebody who I knew traveled a lot. And
or a travel agent. But honestly, whoever you've bought your ticket from and the airline you're traveling, they all have different rules. So it's not just one airline. So often, you know, the access to airlines, you know, we've got tons of American airlines flying out of our hub here, and they have different rules than our Canadian airlines that maybe we're used to traveling in our domestic flights a little bit more. So what their size for a carry-on might vary by a little bit. And again, because of the extra costs that have been incurred now for the bags on the airlines, that more people are taking carry-on on. And so, you know, at times they have to be much stricter about what that looks like as well, because it is crazy. Everyone's rushing on and there's no room for carry-on and things like that. It never used to be like that. But when they started putting the charges on for the bags, more people are doing the carry-on and it's becoming an issue. So you may get on and you've got a little carry-on bag for all your kids and your husband, and you go to sit down and there's nowhere to put the carry-on over you because everyone else has already taken it and, you know, you have under your seat and things like that. So, you know, these days we're different issues than there were years ago.
Now, when I think travel, I inevitably think, depending on where you're going, there is the topic of jet lag. Now, I don't believe I've ever really experienced it. I've never gone, you know, anywhere that there's been more than 1 hour time difference. But I'm sure that has to be quite a terrible feeling. How can you prevent that from happening, or can you?
Well, you want to be as healthy as you can going into that, because I know when I've traveled to Asia on several occasions and things like that and gone right into meetings, and I honestly, I'm a gal that can go a long time without sleep, but there was one meeting that I literally was sitting there and my head dropped down. I fell asleep sitting up because I had done some travel from Washington to Boston and then to Taipei. And you know, there's just a point where even though you may be still running on adrenaline, all of a sudden your body may kick out when you least expect it. So you want to be as rested as possible. You want to be hydrated. And, you know, we want to get into the time zone that's there. But, you know, that may be overseas, you know, a big long change. But even something as simple as a domestic flight, if we know we're going to be changing by an hour or two or something like that, think about maybe, you know, that week, if I know I'm changing off by even 3 hours to go, like I'm East Coast to West Coast, I'll start maybe getting up, you know, changing my time of getting up or getting to bed a little bit or things like that. So you can just, some people just go with the flow and just change it when you get there, but you can think about how to change it ahead as well. I tend to go with the time zone that's there and just, I will not have a nap. So whatever I do, I'll try not to have a nap and stay up to as much of a regular time to get to bed, because I think a nap will really throw you off. So I try to keep moving, and that's what some of the research shows that you can do, not to have that short nap. Because a lot of times you might fly overnight and then it's day and you think you're going to have a nap, but it'll get you all messed up. So just try and go as long as you can and get to bed at a normal time, even if it's 8 o'clock. At least you're going to sleep through the night and get back on track.
Good idea.
I always set my clock and go with whatever it is there. If it's 1 or 2 hours or whatever, I go with that. Some people have the philosophy, I'm going to stick as much to my normal hours. So if it's 2 hours difference and they try to do that.
But then I think that's just, live like they live there, you know.
I find that confusing, but think about it. If you're traveling for business, you want to be at your prime. If you are negotiating a big deal, maybe it is important. Vacation time can be a little different. Maybe it doesn't matter if you have a nap and your sleep is off. But if you're traveling for business, you want to think about how those meetings are going to happen at your best time. So really think about that. What does that travel time look like? Do I need to wait a day in between? Do I need to be planning that meeting at what is 4 o'clock in the afternoon their time, because it would be better for me? So, you know, those are just considerations to make, and just, you know, sort of think about how you can make those time zones work for you. But again, this is heavy duty stuff. You know, they say you need, you know, sort of a day for every hour of a time zone. So if you're 12 hours flying overseas to, you know, Asia from North America or whatever, when do you get caught up? And then you're just turning around usually and coming back. So it has a lot more effect. I know for someone who's been traveling international since they were, you know, 18, it was a lot easier than it is now, you know, a few years later to be recouping. And speaking of that as well, you know, I used to just get back and think, oh yeah, well, I'll get it in at 1 o'clock a.m. and I'll get up and I'll just get back to work at, you know, 7 o'clock the next morning. We need time to recuperate, you know, on both ends of our travel. And whether it's vacation or business, you know, we need to be taking care of ourselves. So think, how will you take care of yourself there? How will you take care of yourself in between? I'll stop and have a massage with one of those chair massages now. You know, think about that a little bit more. I really work on trying to sleep on the plane. It was something I couldn't do at first, and now I can get a little bit in. Even if you're not 100% asleep, sometimes just sitting back, I put the iPod on with relaxing, and you are resting a little bit more like that. So think about how you can get some energy back in, because, you know, with all the security and the lugging the luggage and the frantic to make the time schedules and all that sort of stuff, you really need to figure out, how am I going to replenish myself?
Well, I think we should go on a trip.
Sounds good.
Colette, would you please provide your contact information?
Absolutely. It's www.organizeanything.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Organize Now. We've got lots of tips on travel, business etiquette, all kinds of things there. And you can also connect with me on Facebook and LinkedIn. So again, our main website is www.organizeanything.com.
Thank you, Colette. We'll see you soon.